Good morning. I call to order the December 4th, 2013 variance hearing. I am Corey Teague, the Assistant Zoning Administrator, serving in the role of Acting Zoning Administrator while Scott Sanchez is out on paternity leave. I'm joined by our Executive Secretary, Eva Atahera-Taylor. Start out with some general housekeeping information. First, regarding the order of presentation. For each case, project sponsors shall be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings are met to justify the variance. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case at that time. Supporters and opponents shall be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please keep in mind that projects have many aspects and maybe different approvals, but the public comment here should pertain to the specific variance being requested. The project sponsor shall then be allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal if there is any public comment in opposition. The zoning administrator may ask questions of the project sponsor and members of the public, and the zoning administrator may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement, or may indicate inclination to grant with conditions, or deny, or may continue the item. Public comment at the end of the hearing shall be allowed for items not on the agenda today. Regarding the required criteria for justifying a variance, Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specific provisions of the Planning Code would result in a practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding four, that the granting of such variance would not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding number five, that the granting of such variance would be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and would not adversely affect the general plan. Please be aware that no decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If you wish to receive a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located at the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. The zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Private conversations are very disruptive during the hearing, so please conduct all private conversations outside the hearing room. Please also make sure that all cell phones are turned off or set to silent or vibrate. Please be aware that the next variance hearing is scheduled for January 22nd, 2014, and that audio recordings of variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda for hearings on or after January 1st, 2011. A few notes regarding today's calendar. There are a few housekeeping items to take care of there as well. First, agenda item number one on the regular calendar for 4089 19th Street will not be heard because it was determined that the project did not need a variance. Second, item number 11 for 492 Douglas Street and item number 12 for 4308 21st Street are requested by the same project sponsor and will be heard out of order so that number 12 will be heard before number 11. And finally, agenda item number four for 1801 Scott Street has been continued to the January 22nd hearing due to an issue with public notice. However, if anyone is here to speak on that item and would like to speak today, we will open public comment today, and you may have 3 minutes to speak before we begin hearing other cases on the regular calendar. And so at this time, I will turn it over to our Executive Secretary to begin the hearing by calling for any public comment on item number four.
Okay, we'll start with item number four, case number 2013.0774V, 1801 Scott Street, front setback, rear yard, and permitted obstruction variances sought. Is there any members of the public who would like to speak regarding this item?
Anyone? Seeing no public comment, we will close that public comment for now and reopen it when we hear the case in January.
As mentioned earlier, item number one, case number 2012.1279V, 4089 19th Street, rear yard variance sought has been canceled because variance is not needed. So going back now, moving forward to item number two. Case number 2013.0756V, 204 Tingley Street, rear yard, variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Yes, good morning, Commissioner. Good morning. Ahmad Lariza, the project sponsor. Here is the declaration of posting. Thank you. The reason we are here in front of you, because the measurement, when they did the measurement on the building, the structure, that was less than 12 inches into the rear setback. So we asked for permission to allow us to not to demolish the building for only about less than, I think, 6 to 8 inches. And when I talked to Corey says he's going to talk to zoning administration, maybe can be taking care of it internally. That's it. Thank you.
Sure. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing no public comment, we will close the public comment. And yeah, this one was a little interesting because it kind of happened first, but it actually turns out that it's a pretty exceptional circumstance in the sense that it's the smallest lot on the block, it's the shortest lot on the block, it has the angle, all the lots around it have rear yards that are, or rear buildings that are as deep or deeper into their required rear yard. So I think there, it definitely meets the criteria for an exceptional, extraordinary circumstance. So with that, I would be inclined to approve the variance. Okay. And we can move on to the next item on the calendar.
Item number three, case number 2012.0850V, 200 Clayton Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
The declaration of posting, is that something that I just fill out right here?
Or? Yes, or you can do them later or submit that directly to the planner.
Okay, so we'll do that. My name is Daniel Mason. I represent as the project architect for the project. We're looking for a variance to construct a roof deck on top of an existing garage structure on a building that's on a corner lot. The corner lot is 106 feet deep by 25 feet wide. We feel that this is it's an exceptional circumstance in that there's basically no rear yard available for the property. There's a small courtyard that exists, but the garage is essentially, which is a historic structure, is built in the what would be the rear yard. And so what we're seeking to do is construct a habitable roof deck on top of the garage that would allow the owner to occupy what should be their rear yard habitable space. And so that's basically it. We're just looking to occupy what should be our rear yard by putting a roof deck on the garage. We don't see that this would be detrimental to light or air or views. And this is a property that's constrained beyond what we think is normal for the neighborhood because of its corner lot condition. And it won't materially impact the bulk or mass of the structure in any way. That's really all I have to say.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Please come up.
You have 3 minutes,
ma'am. Stand down here. It just seems a little high.
Can you just push?
Yeah. Hi. My name is Susan Brock. I live at 1968 Hayes, right across the street from this site. And I apologize. I'm a little nervous. I didn't really know what this format was this morning. I was never given any notification of this, and I live well within 300 feet of the property. So that's my first complaint. I only found out about this hearing by accident a couple days ago, and I looked quickly on the website this morning to try to find out about it, but I feel I don't have enough information to really give appropriate input. But from what I did find out, it's a lot more than putting a roof deck on. It's the proposal says conduct a series of decks at the second and third floor, and to construct a deck above the garage. They also propose to move a portion of the second floor and construct a new window. And construct a minor horizontal addition at the third floor, modify the roof pitch, and add new skylights. So to me, that seems like a really major change, and I just don't feel that I could understand from the pictures on the website what it was going to be like. Or it was so small I couldn't really read it. Because I just found out about it, I didn't have enough time to investigate it more. But I have a couple of specific comments about it. One is that I didn't receive notice. I believe there are other neighbors who also didn't receive notice, and I think that everybody within 300 feet is supposed to receive notice. So I would like that to be addressed. Also, I would like to know more about the actual plan so I can understand what's happening so that I can give knowledgeable input. And I kind of wonder how many decks does one house need, because it's already got a huge deck on the second floor as it is. I looked up this building, and it is a historic building, and you're not supposed to make changes to a historic building if it would change the characteristics that make it historic. And I believe a series of decks, as proposed, would change the nature of the building, so it wouldn't. I believe it would change those historic characteristics, in my opinion, from what I've been able to observe so far. And also, I know a neighbor who lives in the property right next door. It's flat right up against where they're going to build the deck on the garage, and it would definitely impact on her light and air and views, and it would be directly on the other side of her living room, and with, you know, windows and light affected accordingly. So anyway, I apologize for that's about all I could come up with in a couple of hours this morning when I had time to look, but I have those concerns.
Can I ask you just a quick question? Are you an owner or
renter?
A renter. Okay, so that may be the notification issue. This project is going to require two separate notices for the variance. The notification requirement is a 300-foot radius to owners.
Really?
And when the building permit is moving forward, they're required to do 150-foot radius of owners and occupants. So there will be, and that will be for the whole project, not just the variance request.
So, I'm sorry, was that step two, you said, of
yes.
the project?
Yeah, there would be another variance for the building permit applications, a 311
okay.
notice.
Okay, because just to address what you just said, I'm looking at the variance hearing information. It says right here that a property owner or resident within 300 feet of this proposed project is supposed to be notified. That's what this says. That was on the notice that one neighbor did receive. So it doesn't say just property owners.
Okay. We can check into the notice template and see if there's anything that should be corrected there.
Okay.
But it is owners for the variance and occupants as well for the building permit notice. So you should be noticed there again.
So then when the building permit hearing happens, there would be additional chance to give input.
Right. There's not a hearing automatically unless there is a trigger for the project that requires a conditional use or some other authorization by the Planning Commission, or if someone files for discretionary review, which would put the project in front of the Planning Commission for a public hearing.
Thank you.
Sure. Is there any other public comment on this item? Please come up.
You have 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Lisa Aubrey, and I live next door to the property, the 200 Clayton property. And the room where I spend most of my time abuts, my window looks out basically on the roof of the garage, where the deck is. They're hoping to build a deck, and I just feel that I don't have enough information to really understand exactly what is going to happen, and I'd like to know more about intended use and the height of the deck and how my view out that primary window would be affected, because basically there's just about 3 feet of space between one of my walls and the existing garage. So, and let me just look at my notes here too, because while the hearing process is great, it also makes your heart beat a little faster. It makes you a little nervous to stand behind a microphone. Concerned about the height of the fence or barrier between the two buildings, what we will look at 24/7. And one of our walls, our back wall of our living room, is right up against the deck. I mean, they're on top of each other. And that's it.
And just to be clear, you're the neighbor just to the south?
I am. Okay. South.
Great.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other public comment on this item? All right, seeing no public comment, the project sponsor has time for rebuttal, if you choose, to address any of those issues that were raised.
You will also get 3 minutes, sir.
Okay, thanks. So in terms of the notification, we did, I think, we complied with the requirements for variance notification, meaning that, you know, we had Radius Services, an outside organization, prepare the mailing notification radius list and submitted that to planning. And so I believe that we're in compliance there. We did hold a neighbor meet and greet meeting with notices that went out to a radius of neighbors, and no one came to the meeting to voice any concerns. In terms of the deck itself, we made a concession, it's probably about 6 weeks ago now, during planning review, to essentially cut a corner of the deck back 5 feet to align with an adjacent light well of the property to the southeast. And which would essentially, it pulls the deck guardrail away from the light wells to open up any potential impact to that light well itself, which I think is where the woman who just spoke resides, although I'm not clear about that. The intention is that the guardrail around the deck would only be for building code height to keep someone from falling off, so it'd be 42 inches tall. And where it doesn't need to be rated because of a building code property line condition, it would be the intention is to match the historic character of the existing balustrades on the building. I suppose that that is my response. Oh, and in terms of the first woman that spoke, the variance really is only applicable to the deck and the stairs leading up to the deck, because those are being built in the required rear yard. The rest of the project falls under the purview of the, as you were saying, the 311 notification that will go out next, because that the rest of the project doesn't actually require a variance. So that's my response.
And I just have a couple questions.
Yeah, sure.
So just so that I'm clear, the rear portion of the building is actually being reduced. Like the actual mass of the building, you're actually removing a portion of that rear part of the
building. That's correct. We're removing 5 feet of building, yeah.
Right. And then the new decks, they're not new deck structures in the sense that you have a flat wall and you're adding a new kind of cantilevered
That's
or deck.
Correct.
These are decks that will be on the roofs of the garage and the second floor
That's
of
correct.
The existing building. So it's not necessarily building a new deck structure. It's putting a new deck on top of these roof levels.
That's correct.
Correct.
Yes.
And then the firewall along the south property line would only be 3 foot six or 42 inches
correct
high.
As well, yes.
Okay. And then, as you said, the it's a 5 by almost 7 rectangle in the far corner would not be deck area, so people will not be able to kind of...
That's to mitigate.
So basically in the area where you don't have the firewall, people will not be able to stand
occupy.
Around there or occupy
yeah,
that,
correct.
That area. Great. Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay.
So, yeah, there are a lot of interesting components to this. As we said, it is it's a Category A historic building, so there are limits on what you can do with the building. There are limits on how much they could actually remove to actually create kind of a code-complying rear yard, so the provision of open space is fairly important. It will also... again, the firewall is a lower firewall than what would otherwise be required in some places, which would be a 10-foot-high firewall. And this lot is on the far north side of the block, so in terms of creating new shadow issues, that shouldn't be a big issue. I do want to look a little bit more at the window issue with the other neighbor, and especially because this project has not gone out to 311 yet. I'm inclined to probably grant the variance, but I would want to wait until the 311 period has expired to see if there are any discretionary reviews requested and to make sure that any neighbors who haven't been notified or had a chance to kind of take a look at the plans can have a chance to do that. So, again, I'm inclined to probably approve the variance, but I want to hold off and take it under advisement until the 311 notice has been completed. So with that, we can... move on to the next
item. Number four, as mentioned earlier, is continued to January 22nd. That's case number 2013-0774V1801 Scott Street. Moving forward to item number five, case number 2013-1267V3647 22nd Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
My name is David Stratton. We are seeking a rear yard variance. The existing structure sits within the rear yard, and previous work was done underneath the structure without a permit. So once we have to go back and legalize the structure underneath, it's intensifying the illegal condition of being in the rear yard. So we're looking to get a variance for this. Like I said, the structure is already there. It's been there since early 1900s. Also, we're in a kind of different condition where we have a corner lot to one side and a small lot and another corner lot on the other side where we'd be able to average usually with two corner lots, but the one corner lot has been... kind of broken up and a lot split at one time, so the lot is too small to average. So those are kind of the conditions that put us in a kind of extreme position. But we are still having a 25-foot rear yard, plus an additional jog in the back. So we are keeping with existing kind of 25-foot minimum. And no impact on light and air as well.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay. Seeing none, I will close public comment on this item. Yeah, I generally agree with the project sponsor. It's a fairly unique lot layout on this block, and the it's a potential historic resource building, and the work that's being done will help legalize a unit and make it much more functional without actually adding any mass or depth any further into the required rear yard. It would be on the side, and not even really adding new habitable space, really just enclosing the stairway, and again allowing for more functional design without really having any significant impact on the lot, the rear yard, or the mid-block open space. So I would be inclined to grant that variance. And we can move on to the next item.
Item number 6, case number 2013.0555V, 5000 Mission Street. Rear yard, open space, and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. Brett Gladstone for the owner. The owner is Kent Chow, and Kent is an educator who bought this building to move into the ground floor his education service. He educates Asians into the English language and also has after-school programs downstairs. I'll show you the after-school program on this overhead. The owner bought this with a 3R saying unknown use, but he went to the seller. The seller wrote a disclosure saying there's two legal residential units upstairs. He's now in litigation with that seller, unfortunately, and is stuck with the problem of having two illegal residential units upstairs that require three kinds of variance. I'm going to discuss mostly today the open space variance because that is the one of most concern to the department. So the problem is if he loses these rental units, one of which is occupied, he loses the income with which to pay the mortgage. Also, lenders, when they discover that the rental income that they relied on is gone, often start a foreclosure or create other problems for a borrower. So this is a very serious situation. The property value would drop way below the loan were these units not usable and were there to be a second floor retail use, which does not provide a lot of income. There's one current tenant. The tenant is over 65, and we're advised that he has a Parkinson's problem. He does not want to be relocated, and every kind of improvement to the second floor would require that. He's a Section 8 tenant, subsidized by the Housing Authority. This is one of these two units are some of the most affordable we have. Their three-bedroom is under 1,000 square feet, by the way. One of them is family-sized housing at three bedrooms, and it would be a shame to lose that. These are exactly what the city's looking for. They're on a transit corridor, and they're small and affordable by size. The upstairs would have to have open space either by a roof deck or some other means. The roof deck would require two means of egress, which means a staircase into the backyard, which means a variance. Neighbors were advised would not be happy with the variance because there's only 10 feet there of rear yard already, and a stair would go into it. As for a roof deck on the top, they'd have to entirely restructure the roof to do that. And it would require that in that very, very small light well, you put a stairs up to the roof. Let's take a look at that light well. And in that light well is the only means of light to the two bedrooms on either side. They both have windows into the light well, so the staircase would cross the windows. The windows would have to be closed under the building code. The two bedrooms would only be usable with mechanical ventilation through the roof, which is very expensive, and they might not be legal under the building code as bedrooms when you close the windows and reduce their size because of the stairs that will cross them. Do you want to point out that situation here? The only other alternative is to widen the very narrow light well. That way, this space would be private open space for this unit. This space would be private open space for this unit. But that's problematic because you'd have this bedroom looking into the other unit's light well and this unit looking into the other unit's light well. You'd have to keep those openings, so it's a tremendous privacy problem, or else you'd close the openings and no longer have bedrooms that are useful as bedrooms. The hardship was obviously not created by our client. And the other problem with the roof deck is that there's a neighbor who's concerned about a privacy problem from the roof deck looking into the rear yard. The planning staff has discouraged providing a stair at the rear to provide access from a deck on the roof or to provide access from the rear bedroom into the rear. And one more item, if we do put a stair into the backyard without a roof deck, then it's only open space for one unit, and that would need a variance anyway. So in sum, the problem is the client's between a rock and a hard place on a situation he didn't create. And what we have at stake are two affordable family size units and a relocation of a tenant. The property's nearby, and there are three of them, 5006, 510, and 516, have a situation where they extend into the rear yards, and one of them has a rental units. And so it's a similar property, has that right. We'd only like to have the right that that property next door has.
That's already your time, so please recap.
Please, yeah. So just to conclude, there's no detriment to the neighborhood. This complies with the general plan as to housing. It's consistent with the condition of buildings nearby, which have very little rear yard and deficient in open space. And as you know, these buildings were legal at the time they were built. Balconies are not possible, as neither one could reach 80 feet, the minimum open space required, and would require change in the exterior envelope of the building, which is an enormous expense. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing no public comment, public comment is closed. So, yeah, I recognize the difficulty with this one. And why there is a need for one or more variances. I am a little concerned. You know, the ground floor is an office type use, not a retail use. There's not a big need for the ground floor to use that rear yard space, even though it's not that large. So it's just kind of being wasted, and you have two units there that have no access to any open space. So I recognize that there may not be, at the end of the day, of a feasible option for doing that, but I want to explore all those options in detail as we can. The interior work, I don't think that's feasible for the reasons you brought up. The roof deck issue can be problematic for a lot of different reasons. I think primarily I want to have you work with your case planner and me to really nail down if it's at all possible to get some kind of access to that rear yard for even one of the units, even though it would still require an open space variance for the front unit. If you at least have one unit that has access to that space, that would improve the quality of that space, and I think would be more justifiable. So I'm inclined to take it under consideration, just so that we can explore that in more detail and see if we can come up with a solution for that. With that, we can move on to the next item.
Moving to case number, item number 7, case number 2013.0160V, 470 to 476 Castro Street, rear yard variance sought. Project of the sponsor, please approach the mic.
Hi.
You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. My name is Courtney Mulhern Pearson. I'm here from the San Francisco AIDS Foundation. We're the tenant and authorized agent on this project. The issue would be at hand would be the rear yard variance. We are seeking a variance from the requirement to have 25% open space in the back of the building. We are adding a third floor to build a gay men's health center in the heart of the Castro, and we need we're trying to accommodate the not being too imposing on the Castro Street side, so we're trying to set the building back from the Castro Street side and also set the building back a sufficient way from the Collingwood Street side so that we're not imposing on neighbors back there but still maintain enough program space in the third floor to perform the services that we aim to perform. We're only adding about, I think, 4 feet of total height to the building, so we think that we might be eligible for an exemption from that perspective. We're not actually imposing too much on the rear yard, but currently our plans propose to add, I think, 16 feet rear yard allowance, and the requirement is 31 feet. And I guess I should say that we've been working really closely with the planning department, and they've signed off or agree with this proposal, and so we're asking for your support.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing no public comment, we will close public comment. Yes, you're right. The issue today is just the rear yard variance for this project, and as you mentioned, even though you're adding another story, it's a relatively minor height increase, and then also the actual amount of mass and bulk in the rear yard, even though it's a somewhat larger builder, would be less in the rear yard now than the current building, so potentially have an even less impact on the rear yard than the current building currently has. And we have no public comment on this item outside this hearing in opposition, and it seems to be in keeping with the neighborhood, so I'm generally inclined to grant the variance.
Thank
you. And we can move to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2013.0129V, 2909 Bush Street, rear yard variance sought. The sponsor, please. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Have you seen Jeremy Hall?
I haven't seen him.
I'm not really prepared. He was supposed to do. I have all the documents, but he was given.
Okay.
You should wing it.
I should wing it. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure how much you have in front of you about this project, but we've been going through all the various processes asked of us. We got the exemption, the historical environmental exemption.
Okay.
I've gotten letters from my adjacent neighbor.
Can you move the mic up so that we can record you properly?
Sure.
Thank you.
I've gotten letters from my adjacent neighbors supporting the cottage expansion. And hopefully I can provide you with everything you need to hopefully allow us to expand this freestanding rear structure in my home. And they're still well above the necessary open space needed on our abnormally large lot. I will say that the structure has been used since the 70s. It was a garment. It was used by the previous owner as a garment studio, and I've been using it for the last decade as a drawing studio. I'm an artist. And it's very small, and my hope would be to expand it and make it a legal dwelling so that in the future, perhaps if my mother or father needed to live with us, that could accommodate them.
Okay.
A little disappointed Jeremy's not here.
You did fine.
Okay.
It was great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing no public comment. Public comment is closed for this item. Yes, please. Thank you. So this lot is definitely unique in this area. The way it opens up in the rear, in the block, And the front building is a known historic resource building, so there are limits to what can be done to that building. And there is no opposition to the project, as you mentioned. I think it's being done in a pretty minimalist way, considering the location. So I would be inclined to grant the variance. We will hold off, though, until the 311 has been completed before a decision letter would be the issue. No, that's for the building permit. Okay. There will be a notice for the building permit, sure. So there will be a 30-day notice for that. Sure. So we'll won't grant until that has been completed, but I am inclined to grant the variance.
If you can just complete the sourcing form. We'll go ahead and start with, move on to case number nine, item number nine, I'm sorry, case number 2013.1205V, 261 10th Avenue, rear yard and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor, please.
Good morning. My name is Gregory Ladigan. I'm the project sponsor for 261 10th Avenue. I'll briefly describe the scope of our project. We are hoping to convert and change of use of an existing non-conforming structure, an accessory structure in the rear yard, which is considered a parking structure at this time. Due to the structure being in the rear yard and within the rear yard setback, we are asking for a variance to the rear yard. And also, as we are required to provide one parking area, which will be in the front of the structure in the driveway and concealed from public view by an existing gate, we are also asking for an exposure variance due to that. We are not able to remove the structure as it would demolish or negatively affect the fabric of the lot, as most of the properties on the lot have an accessory structure in the rear yard. And we hope that we are able to meet the requirements in a certain way with the exposure variance by having usable open space, which is slightly too small to comply. That's it.
Thank you. Any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing no public comment, public comment is closed. Yeah, I agree. There's definitely already a pattern of rear yard buildings on this block in the two adjacent parcels. And the proposal would allow the project to add another dwelling unit without really having any impact on the existing building or any impacts on the neighbors, really. There's no proposed expansion of the building, correct? It seemed like the building was being opened up in terms of windows and doors in a way to get enough light and air into the unit, even though it doesn't technically meet the exposure requirements of the planning code. So I'm generally supportive of this variance, and I'm inclined to grant the variance. But with the same condition, let's see, yes, the 311 has already been completed, so that's not an issue anymore, so I'm inclined to grant this variance.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2013.0277V, 553 Elizabeth Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here? You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
21st Street?
Are you the project sponsor?
Yes.
Yes.
Elizabeth Street.
Elizabeth. 553 Elizabeth.
Mr. T, good morning. For your record, my name is Mary Gallagher, and I'm an urban planner working with the project sponsor and architect on the project at 553 Elizabeth Street. This RH2 property currently has two separate buildings on the lot. One is in the buildable area, and one smaller cottage is entirely in the required rear yard. This is the rear yard line. Each of the buildings has a legal dwelling unit. The property poses three key problems in its current configuration. First, there's not 25 feet in each direction, either in front of or behind the cottage. Thus, it's substandard in dwelling unit exposure, and as a result, it's somewhat dark. Second, the space behind between the buildings is quite narrow, and it's also rather deep into the ground. It's about a half a level below the lowest level of the front building. Here's the back cottage and the front building. The front building extends actually back to about here, and we're talking about this open space right here. It's surrounded on three sides by wall. This is the north direction, so it gets very little light to it. It doesn't benefit from or contribute to the mid-block open space. And then third, the room layout in this cottage is very awkward and cramped. It really has no circulation. You have to walk from one room to another in the room, no hall space. Another aspect of this property that influenced the project design is the building's front facade, which, while not deemed significant by CEQA standards, nonetheless contributes to the architectural character of the block face in the neighborhood. The proposal seeks to build a four-level addition at the rear of the building within the buildable area at a height that is about at the existing roof crest of the existing front building. It connects the two buildings with a single-story addition, this 5-foot area of which is in the required rear yard, and it's just this area that triggers the variance. The proposal also removes the gable roof from the rear cottage. It removes the legal property line windows from the cottage, and also removes a rear 10.5 feet of the cottage, effectively moving the rear yard, consolidating it, and enlarging the open space on the lot, placing it in the traditional rear yard location, and now providing code compliance dwelling unit exposure to the rear unit, which has never been provided in the past. This also allows for a configuration of the smaller unit, transforming it from a dark, cramped, and awkward space into a light, enriched, open floor plan. It also preserves the architectural integrity of the important features of the front building. So here's existing street frontage, and as you can see, it changes very little as the addition is placed a full 22 feet back from the front. We'll have minimal visual impact from Elizabeth Street. In terms of findings, the split yard straddling the two buildings, resulting in both a rear yard that's non-compliant and dwelling unit exposure, which is non-compliant, is both exceptional and extraordinary. The existing situation prevents correction of the exposure deficiency without either reducing the size of the front building to a size that, in fact, would be smaller than what it was originally constructed in 1909, or reducing the size of the rear building not without a connection between the two buildings, and that would result in a size of under 500 square feet for that smaller unit. This also prevents the property from enjoying code-complying unit exposure possessed by other properties in our H2 district. The proposal augments mid-block open space by reducing the height and the footprint of a non-complying structure and transforming a dwelling unit exposure from non-compliance to compliance. The property owner on the west side has expressed in writing that the proposal will be a great improvement to the immediate neighborhood, and we believe the property owner to the east, who owns this building, who has worked with the project sponsor and architect over many months over the size and fenestration of this light well, no longer objects to the project. And that concludes our presentation. If there are any questions, we can answer. Either myself or the architect would be happy to.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing no public comment, public comment is closed. Thank you very much for a thorough presentation on the project. I tend to agree with all the points that were made in the sense that the project will actually reduce the mass in the far rear of the lot, which is where it's really relevant in this case to contribute to the mid-block open space, providing having that kind of odd open space between the buildings doesn't really serve anyone. in any significant way. I do appreciate that you worked with the neighbors on the light well issue, that you guys could all come to an agreement on that, and that seems to be a good design solution. So I am inclined to grant this variance once the 311 notice has been completed, which should just be in another week or so. Thank you.
Continue on with the switch. Number 12 will be heard first. Case number 12, case number 2013-0589V, 4308 21st Street, front setback variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Just give me 1 second to get my notes set up here. Oops, shit. So we're here to talk about 4308 21st Street, which is requesting a front setback variance due to a very unusual condition where you have two buildings, two properties side by side that have small rear cottages at the back. And the corner location of this particular site has, obviously being on the corner, has no adjacent structure to one side, and on the other side there's a cottage set all the way at the rear property line, which basically creates no condition to create an average front setback. And the default setback would be 15% of the lot depth, or in this case 14 feet 5 inches. And according to the residential design guidelines, corner lots are encouraged to play a strong role in defining the neighborhood character, not merely responding to it. In early conversations with planning staff, including RDT members, encouraged the corner location to be emphasized, hence a variance was a must. We would have preferred to not need a variance, but that was not an option available to us if we were to have a corner building that conforms to the residential design guidelines. In terms of design studies and precedents that influence our approach to this project, all three other corners of this subject intersection seen here have buildings that are built out near or directly to the lot line, consisting with the prevailing development pattern, not just in this neighborhood, but really throughout the city. And the remaining buildings along 21st Street all front nearly right along the property line with minimal to no setbacks. And in some of our historical research, we found a 1905 Sanborn map that shows a building built right to both lot lines on the corner there. And that building was subsequently demolished at some point in the past, and the lot's been empty since then. And then in terms of how we located our building, we noticed that there's a 9-foot sidewalk on 21st Street and there's just a 6-foot sidewalk on Douglas Street, and so we elected to locate our new structure 3 feet back from the front property line, despite the fact that the prevailing pattern is right along the property line, so that there'd be kind of a consistent 9-foot sort of public way. Despite the lot is actually trapezoidal in shape, 21st Street's kind of angled there, and rather than follow the angled line, we kind of stepped the massing to both break it down and create some open space along the sidewalk. And some other precedents, when working with planning staff early on, they asked us to take a close look at the property at the corner of 21st and Eureka, which was a property that received a variance about a dozen years ago. The variance was actually to split the lot and have two substandard-sized lots and then build a new structure on the corner. And in our conversations with the ZA, Scott Sanchez, at the time, he told us not to attempt to get a variance to split the lots, but to put two buildings on the same lot. And further, buildings with two structures, as you've seen just from the previous presentations, are not unprecedented or uncommon in San Francisco. In fact, just last year, a new four-story house was built in front of a rear cottage just two blocks south at 680 Douglas Street, and just completed within the last year. And personally, our office helped a client obtain a variance to expand both structures on a single lot within just this last year. So our proposed design is sort of a contemporary Mediterranean-style house. It takes cues from surrounding buildings. And in accordance with the residential design guidelines, the street-facing facades are fenestrated and articulated, and both the front facades include more architectural detailing, so effectively acting as street facades on both sides. And it also, in accordance with our design guidelines, you know, we've got more complex forms and projecting facade elements to emphasize the corner location. And the rear facade is also articulated to show the complexity of the massing there and continue it around because it is visible from the public. And the previous owner had installed, you know, many palm trees along 21st Street, and those are all being retained in addition to a lot of site greenery that we're going to be adding along all the open space areas. And I think that's all my presentation.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay. Can everyone raise their hand if you plan to speak? Just a few? Okay, thank you. I thought it was more than just two or three. If you wouldn't mind just lining up, queuing as you go, so we get an idea of how many people are in line for public comment. And also just want to mention again the issue for this hearing today, at least, is just the front setback variance. That's the only decision that's being reviewed for this project at this time. So if you could attempt to keep your comments related to that issue or issues that are related to that issue, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is Nick Nash. I live at Douglas Street, and I've lived there for 10 years as a property owner. I initially put my presentation for both properties since they're both being developed by the same architect, so I'll try to split it off. It may be a little awkward. But for a variance to be granted in San Francisco, my understanding is that there are the five qualifications that are needed. I'll try to address the applicants and then my interpretation of that. First being exceptional or extraordinary circumstances applying to this property or intended use of the property that do not apply to others in the same class. An application, or the said applicant, stated that their properties, or the houses on these properties, are set at the back, while everybody else is set at the front. My rebuttal to that is, are they going to move the existing houses to the front of the lot like everybody else? No. Instead, on 4308, they're trying to squeeze 5,307 square foot of house into a lot that is 2,901. Second is owning to those exceptions and extraordinary circumstances. The literal enforcement of said code would result in the difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by the owner of property. Again, the applicant stated that the said properties are noted at the rear of the property, and it doesn't allow them to develop due to the required setback or yard. 4308, my interpretation would not be able to then sell their new development for the $2.5-3 million range if they had to abide by Section 132 and not build the massively out-of-character house that would be eliminating the yard that currently exists with that code. Number three, such variance is necessary in the preservation or enjoyment of the property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Said applicants are stating they too want a setback similar to the surrounding houses. This neighborhood does not possess what the developer is trying to build. This will be the first house that has two single homes on one lot. It's going to be the first four-story, and they're going to be butting up to the sidewalk and essentially eliminating their yard. Fourth is granting such a variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or material injurious to the property or improvements to the vicinity. Said applicant stated this will have no negative impact, but will actually create housing. If these proposed developments are allowed to go forward at their current scope, I believe there will be a public hazard that's artificially created by the massive 39-foot house blocking motorists' ability to safely navigate an already awkward five-way stop, three of which are single lane and they're two-way streets. I urge you to put a stop to this unprecedented development, and I only support remodeling the two existing homes within neighborhood character and full compliance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you also have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. Morning. I'm Morris Fung, and I live on Douglas Street. And for the 492 Douglas variance, there are two variances. The first is building up to the sidewalk, but the code says the front of the house needs to be 14 feet setback. As you see on this building here, it's set back already, but the builder wants to build all the way out. And secondly, the rear building, he wants the modification, so not in keeping with the existing buildings of the adjacent homes.
At this time, we're just talking about the corner property,
okay.
Not the Douglas property, just if you want to concentrate your time.
There'll okay.
be another time for public comment on that case.
Okay, so this is the 21st Street property?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And
here's
just to remind, we're taking number 12 and 11 out of order so that 21st is
first. Okay, no problem. This is a viewpoint of that corner, and again, he's asking for a variance, not in code with the 14 feet. So he's going to build such a large property on this corner. So I hope you'll consider not granting the variance. It's not appropriate. And the sidewalk is already on Douglas Street pretty narrow. And so you're just building something so large and not keeping character with the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you.
You also have 3 minutes, sir.
My name's Michael Blumlein. I live at 476 Douglas. I've lived there, and I own it for 33 years. And I know we're speaking to 4308. This applies to both properties. It's impossible to separate them. They were presented together, so we can say the same thing again, but this applies to both. I object to the variance for the front setback. 3 feet goes completely against the look and the character and the quality of the neighborhood. On that side of the street alone, there the six contiguous properties are all set back 11 feet. On the opposite side of the street, except for the first two properties, every property is set back a minimum of 9 feet. So that's very different. Of those six contiguous homes on that side of the street, five of them have very distinctive and colorful front gardens that are a magnet to wildlife, to greenery, and more importantly, to the neighbors and to people. The houses, as proposed, are already going to be taking away a significant amount of open and green space, which is another priority in the city's master plan. This would exacerbate that. And because that block of Douglas is divided, the sidewalks on each side of the street are very narrow, just 6 feet. And so bringing a building to within 3 feet of that would create both visually and psychologically a bottleneck effect. And there'd be little room for green remediation, like a cutout garden. You could not do that. Very too narrow. And I just wanted to address the letter on the variance application by the architecture firm. And they say in point two that without the variance would require a maximum 15-foot front setback, which, I quote, is much larger than the front setbacks of most nearby properties. That's totally a lie. Because I've just said that they're all 11 feet. He could have measured it. This guy's an architect. And in point three, again, he says we want to establish a front setback that is similar to the prevailing setbacks on the block, including, anyway, that quote. And again, that's just an untrue. It's not similar. 3 feet in whose universe is similar to 11 feet? So for those reasons and for others that people will speak to, I oppose this. And I have a letter with many, many signatures, and it's only a partial listing that I would like to present. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Rochelle Gottlieb. I live at 358.
You can pull that down.
Okay. I live at 358 Eureka Street, and I've lived there since 1973. And every day I walk with my dog. We go up 21st Street. We make a right on Douglas. We go to Kite Hill. We walk in the street because I have a feeling on that block that I can breathe, and it's very calming there. And then when I see this drawing for this massive building, I feel like I'm going to have claustrophobia. I mean, I don't think I'm going to be able to walk in that direction anymore. I saw the property when it was for sale, and it was a beautiful piece of land, and there's so much opportunity there for gardening and for children, for dogs, for whatever. But it would have been so wonderful for somebody to have bought it. If they wanted to expand that house a little bit, fine, but preserve that land. Our land is so precious in San Francisco, and for some reason, developers just want to cover every inch with a building, and they don't take into consideration how important land is. So I'm so opposed to both projects. To me, I don't know how to separate them. I just hope that you'll listen to the people, the neighbors who are opposed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Evelyn Yanis, and this is Sajivi Gunasekera, and we are owners at 169 Grandview Avenue. This is in the same block as these two properties that are proposed. I just wanted to say that this four-story properties, four-story height, would just obstruct our view, and it would just disrupt our enjoyment of our home. And Sajibi?
Yeah, I would like to say that we definitely oppose both structures being built. It's the massiveness of the property that we are concerned of. Like the previous speaker, we enjoy the neighborhood, we walk our dogs there, and having a massive structure built in is, in my opinion, is not gonna improve the look of the neighborhood. It's actually gonna be claustrophobic for us to see. Just to see the picture on the screen just made us very nervous. It's 4,000 square feet house, one house, and the other one is going to be the same. So we both oppose this, and we hope that you would listen to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Victor Ortiz Montiano. I'm an owner on Corwin Street, around the corner from 21st and Douglas. I do pass that corner nearly every day. And I support the request for a variance. I think it's an area, it's a block with lots of very large houses, and also going down Douglas Street towards Noe Valley. And I think if you think about the project also in relation to that, heading down Douglas towards Noe Valley, it actually really does kind of match the character of a lot of large houses in the area. And I think for this corner lot, it's appropriate request for a variance, and I do support it.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sarah Madison Earls. I used to be a resident of the neighborhood. I now live at Vicksburg Street in Noe Valley. I also support the variance hearing. I know more about the other project, but in speaking about this project, I do know that all of the other three buildings on that corner are set directly to the sidewalk, so it does seem to be in keeping with the other buildings on that corner. My understanding is that it's three stories with a fourth room on top, so not a full four-story building. The building that's there now does have a yard, but it's completely walled off, so I don't see how this is really changing the way that the place looks as you walk down the street. You can't see into that garden at all. And I do. I support this variance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Randy Pitts, and I live on Corwin Street, which is kind of an offshoot of Douglas in that area. So I do pass this area every day. I have for 10 years. And I like the previous person, and I support the variance. That corner is somewhat a blur all the time because it is so actually different from the rest of the houses in the area. There's also a very a rather large house on the corner of Eureka and 21st, which after seeing the drawing and seeing the trees and the greenery that they're planning on doing, reminds me of that house, which actually is one of my favorite houses in the area. It's very, even though it has a significant size, it blends in well. It has a lot of greenery around it. It's really quite beautiful. So I support the variance in this area. I think it's actually going to contribute to the neighborhood in terms of the style. And I think, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Teague. I live at 484 Douglas, which is two houses over from these proposed developments. And unlike the rest of
Douglas... Do you want to give us your name, sir?
My name is Donald Arquilla.
Thank you.
Unlike the rest of Douglas Street as you proceed toward Noe Valley, this is a terraced section of Douglas Street. In fact, the street was built in the 1920s after there were houses there. One of my house was built in 1885. It was one of the first houses there. So the sidewalks are narrower, and the character of that street is unique in particular. So that other developments further down Douglas really aren't relevant to this unique part of the block. I also want to say that there's a terraced section between the two levels of Douglas Street that are maintained by the neighbors. We pay a landscaping firm to prune and plant and groom that terraced area. And the gardens along the staircase, the municipal staircase, are also beautifully maintained. There's really a priority on green space and nature there. So I would like to see these houses set back somewhat to accommodate that and have real landscaping, as opposed to calling greenery in a planter box landscaping, which is not compliant with the rest of the neighborhood. So it kind of disrupts the harmony and unique quality of that section of Douglas Street and, as I said, the quality of life. That's all my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Neil Soffman. I live at 473 Douglas and have since 1989. One of the things about a massive structure on the corner is that it does draw a sight. And that corner is a bottleneck. You have the buses come down and the cars parked on both sides of the street create very tight space. And I always see backup when a bus is coming down, and the sight line for turning onto Douglas is obstructed, and frequently cars are backing up and going back and forth. Pedestrians don't know what to do exactly when a bus turns onto that space, and it's another impediment to the sight lines of a massive structure. Will it only be counterproductive, I think. I don't know if anybody else has gone and looked at the traffic pattern there, but I've seen many, many, many near accidents and frequently involving children. So I would be very much against a massive structure at that location. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Roland J. Driev. My partner and I, Hervé Dupré, live and own 448 Douglas. And I won't repeat what has been said, but we just feel that the scale is inappropriate for the neighborhood, and it will compromise the character of all the beautiful things that have been said before me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning. My name is Mike Ogrins. I own and live at 490 Douglas, which is the property immediately adjacent to these two, and I support both variances. In the process of getting to this, Gadali worked, and David Armour and Senator worked very closely with us. We had a very great concern for preserving light and air at the light well, which is the only way we get light and air into the core of our house. And, you know, part of this, you know, the location and siting of the buildings is to accommodate the requests of us and the other neighbors. So, you know, it's a difficult lot, I think. It's one of these difficult existing conditions, and I think this is just about the best, you know, workable solution that will you know, provide a good solution for everyone. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gypsy Achong, and I live at 489 Douglas. My family's lived there for about 20 years. We've also worked very closely with the project and they've been very receptive to all of the concerns raised by the neighbors in the immediate vicinity. The front setback is necessary so that, you know, they can meet the two residents requirement and also have the light well line up for Michael's house and try to maximize the open space between the two properties so that you create a little green space there. With the way the houses are lined up, the Douglas property, the house is to the back. So if they build a house on the back with a nice front yard, then you create a little, you know, a little front yard, and then the next house will have this middle yard, and so you'll create these two small blocks of green instead of doing the block of green in the middle, which is a larger mass of green. So we support the project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Josh Mogul. I'm a six-year Noe resident over on Noe Street, but I'm familiar with both properties that are being proposed. Obviously, there's a lot of emotion associated with these proposed projects, but per what the previous speaker just pointed out, there really is an exceptional situation for both these parcels that are being considered, given the small structures that exist in the rears of the lot. And I actually think that the proposed projects are an extraordinarily sensible and creative way of creating a maximal open and green space and light space for the two properties. Also, per the residential design guidelines, it's clear that corner properties are fundamentally different from other properties in the neighborhood. And if you go throughout Noe, the vast majority of corner properties are built right to the sidewalk. And whether that's a narrow sidewalk or a wide sidewalk is not really particularly germane to the question of the variance for this particular project, but certainly with the upper story setbacks and the articulation of the surfaces of the project that reduces the apparent mass, even though it is a large property being proposed, it seems to be done in a very tasteful and balanced manner and consistent with the property right across the street that's on the corner.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Leslie Turgeon Markoff. My husband and I live at 469 Douglas Street. We've lived there since 1994, actually. Let's see. I have many concerns about this house. It is on a block. It's true. I agree with Neil. The visual access to who's coming down Douglas Street, because there are two heights of that street, is difficult when you're coming, when you're driving, let's see, I guess it's north, or driving down 21st Street. And so having a very, there's a fence there now, but it's a low fence, but having a very high three-floor plus a fourth floor further back, creates a blockage for those that line of sight. So I support Neil in that. I don't see that this is extraordinary circumstances. I think the extraordinary circumstances have been created based on the design of this building. There were options in how this building was designed, and the owners chose to select this in light of the possibility of getting that variance. They're dependent on that variance. I understand the concern of the neighbors to have the light access their homes, and that having that large building, which is 5,000 square feet, to my understanding, both of them, is necessary if that 5,000 square foot house is maintained, that plan. The question I have is, and concern I have is, that the scale of that house, and this does address the variance issue, is extraordinarily large in comparison to the houses near us, and therefore justify and require a variance to follow through with the kind of plan that's being proposed. So there is option. There are varieties of ways that this can be resolved. I don't think that the public should have to be sacrifice the greenery or the consistency of frontage landscaping to support the intent of the property owners, which is to build as large a building as they possibly can in that square footage. I'm asking you to consider what this concern of variance is really about, and that there are choices here. It's not either or, and there's even a variety between 0 and 15 in terms of what a possible variance could be. But 0 is unacceptable. So I support all the other concerns about this house. So I'm asking you not to give the variance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning. My name is Nidhi Singh. I'm the owner who lives on 21st Street across from the building that we are talking about. And I think that there are some very pleasant architectural features in both the constructions that are being planned. I'm in agreement that the volume of the building is a sort of a bit of a shock to the neighborhood. I think I would just request more greening. I'm happy they're keeping the yard that they're keeping. I would request that some more attempt to, if possible, compromise and bring in more green all around to soften the corner a little bit. And I would also just second that I was just witness to a bus and car accident recently. That's a very tight bottleneck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gedalia Braverman, and I actually own the adjacent property, 492 Douglas, which we're going to be hearing about momentarily. First and foremost, I want to say that I have collaborated and with the owners of this corner lot, and they have with me in approaching neighbors and working on many designs. This is not the final this final design that was reached was through a series of iterations that involved the adjacent neighbors at 4324 Jane and Marion Vost, as well as Michael, who spoke at 490 Douglas, and Gypsy from 489 Douglas, and there were many changes that were made to the scope of the project. With regards to green remediation, I don't think that either the owner of this property or myself would have any objection to doing what has been done at some of the other houses, including Michael Blumlein's, which is to do trellises of bougainvilleas or vines, you know, along the facades of the property to help bring more of the green and foliage. I also want to note that this lot at the corner of 21st Street is 25 feet wide. As you go up 21st Street westward, it expands to, I believe, 33 or 34 feet. So the house is not being built at the sidewalk level in a sort of trapezoidal space. As you go up the block, there is more and more green. The sidewalk itself along Douglas Street is 9 feet wide with palm trees there, and there are very few spaces along the entirety of Douglas Street where there are trees in sidewalk space. The corner is exceptional in that it is actually a very wide and open corner. The distance, I believe, from the frontage at the west side of Douglas Street to the east side is 56 feet. And that is because there was, I don't know whether it was eminent domain, but the sidewalk was actually expanded, and my lot at 492 was decreased from 24 by 100 to 24 by 96. So I lost 4 feet of the frontage on my lot, or a prior owner did. I also want to say that with regards to setback, most of the houses along Douglas Street between Corwin and 21st do not really have front yards. Several do, and I owned two that did. But predominantly what we're seeing are cars being parked in front of those houses on driveways with some foliage adjacent to that. And I don't think that that's what we're talking about in terms of green space. This corner actually provides an opportunity to create green space surrounding it from two directions. It is a tight corner. I don't believe that the field of vision will change regardless of any structure that is there. I think we need to look at eliminating one parking space at that corner so that a bus can turn more easily. And I just want to conclude by saying that there are 11 examples of lots containing two structures on them within a small radius, I believe 7 of which are within literally a half a block of this proposed plan.
Okay, thank you. Is there any more public comment on this item? If not, sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal if you'd like.
Thank you. First, I would just say that we certainly respect the concerns that everybody has mentioned here, and we've been working, I think, very diligently to make sure that our design really addresses a lot of the broader neighborhood issues that were raised. I want to quickly correct a few things. People keep talking about 5,000 square foot buildings. Per the submitted drawings, the gross area, which includes garages and non-livable areas of the house, is 4,157 square feet, and the living space, conditioned habitable area, is 3,573, which I think is pretty consistent with a lot of homes in Noe Valley. Someone mentioned moving the house. You can't really move another structure. I don't think that's a terribly viable approach. The lot is zoned RH2 for two units, and if we had wanted to expand the existing cottage, we would have needed a variance for that, because that area that we would use to connect the structures is within the required rear yard. As the previous speaker mentioned, there's numerous lots with two structures on them, and many four-story structures right along Douglas Street to the south, including the one I mentioned at 680, which was both two buildings on one lot with a brand-new structure built in front of a cottage and a new four-story structure that, because of the adjacent structures, is above the height limit in that the normal height limit in that area. Someone also mentioned that we have zero setback. No, we're proposing a 3-foot setback because we recognize the fact that there's this unusually narrow 6-foot sidewalk on Douglas and a 9-foot sidewalk on 21st Street. So we're actually proposing to keep the building back 3 feet, despite the fact that all of the other corner buildings are built right to the property line. Never in my experience has the planning of structures had anything to do with traffic patterns or site visibility for buses or anything like that. That's really an issue for DPW to address, I think. We're providing more than the legal open space on the property between the two different structures. There's no variance required for what we're proposing in the rear yard. And as someone mentioned, we did design, and we'll talk about that next, 492 Douglas to have an adjoining open space so that the two actually sort of work in concert with each other. And somebody was here from Grandview Street. Grandview Street has some of the biggest buildings and tallest structures in the whole neighborhood. They tower over Grandview Street. There are four stories, and with the topography, I think some of them are at least 50 feet tall. And I think also, as the previous speaker mentioned, that many of the residents on Douglas Street use their setback for parking, which is actually illegal according to the planning department. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'd like to thank everyone for all their comments. This is obviously a pretty interesting situation. I do think that the lot does pose some interesting design issues. It is somewhat unique, both in its size and shape and the way it has been historically developed. So I think there is something there to that issue of, if you're going to add another building, doing as much as you can to kind of preserve what would be open space and open air between those two buildings. Having said that, you know, this project has not yet done its 311 notice. And I think based on the comment here, there's, you know, a decent chance there could be a discretionary review filed on the project, which would mean that the whole project would have to be reviewed by the Planning Commission. And again, the decision we're making on the variance is solely just on the front setback issue, the issue of the overall volume and size of the building and whether or not it's kind of in character. That's really more of an issue for the residential design guidelines and what may come before the Planning Commission. Those issues really only come into play for this case where they intersect with the front setback issue, so potentially the scale and mass of the building within the proposed front setback that is triggering the variance. So also, to my knowledge, I had not received a lot of written communication from neighbors or concerned parties, so there's a lot of information that came up today that I haven't, you know, really seen yet, and I want to have the time to really look into those comments as well. Again, this is kind of a unique intersection and unique site, so I will take this matter under advisement, and we will obviously wait for the 311 notice to be completed, and if there is a discretionary review hearing, wait for that to be completed as well.
And next will be the last item on this calendar, case number 2013.0567V, 492 Douglas Street, front setback variance sought. So you have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Just give me 1 second, please.
The top row. Yeah.
Well, continuing on with the process here of talking about these two properties, keeping in mind all the comments that we brought to your attention with respect to the corner property, because the context of that corner lot and the proposed structure directly inform our approach to the expansion of 492 Douglas. 492 Douglas is a very unusual lot. Again, there's a cottage at the very rear of the property, completely covering the existing required rear yard. And I think, despite the fact that we would probably have preferred to maybe even go for a demolition of the property, because it's doesn't really have a lot of value as it is right now in terms of usability. The there's just so much discouragement of that in the city with respect to a lot of it. Maybe it's political, but decided that an expansion made more sense. And in a way, that kind of, I think, is a big contributor to the ultimate kind of square footage of the building. So in approaching the project, we actually are removing as much of the rear cottage as we can to create more open space where it's supposed to be on the property and aligning it with the open space on the neighboring structure. And then with respect to the setback variance in the front, the image over here, we're looking at 4308 21st Street, and the design for 492 Douglas is basically a direct response to that. And, really we kind of looked at both the residential design guidelines and the planning code with respect to alternate methods of meeting and matching the setbacks of adjacent structures. And so we're proposing to have the structure align with the corner structure, also having a 3-foot setback, not a 0 setback, and then stepping back completely in line with 490 Douglas to the north. And, you know, as was mentioned earlier, you know, we worked a lot with the owner of 490 Douglas. He spoke earlier, and he has come out in support of the project as a result of all of the steps that we took to work with him. And this is our site plan showing, you know, the remaining portions of the existing cottage. We're removing, actually, a significant amount of mass in the back here by taking off the existing roof and lowering it. And then you can see the open space that's proposed here and how it's contiguous with the open space at the corner property. And then effectively you have kind of a non-habitable bridge type structure between the two, which is probably adding or contributing to about 400 square feet of the structure, is actually just this kind of connection between a building in the front, which is analogous to the building proposed for 21st Street, and kind of the rehabilitated remaining portion of the structure in the back. And so the kind of the desire to keep only what we needed to in the back and build a structure that transitions from the neighboring setback and out to the corner structure is what ultimately I think kind of drives the overall square footage of the building. Can we get the cover sheet? You know, I think as the building was originally submitted to planning, it was in gross area over 5,000 square feet. But you know, with working with the residential design team and addressing some of the items that they brought up with respect to the project, we removed about 500 square feet of the property, and the gross area is 4,792 currently, you know, of which about 900 square feet of that is non-habitable basement garage area, you know, resulting in a house that's about 3,900 square feet, which is just slightly bigger than the house next door, which is at 35 and change. You know, and the one thing I want to mention too is just with respect to the overall structure, there's a lot of kind of sort of harping about four-story structures. This is predominantly a two-story structure as far as the full floor plans of the building. There's a basement garage, which is completely below the grade of the site. The two main levels of the house, which align with the two-story structure next door, and then there's a small four-story structure set well back and effectively out of view from the street. So basically we have a two stories over a basement with a small penthouse-like structure at the rear. Thank you.
Thank you. So again, those wishing to provide public comment, if you wouldn't mind queuing up, and we can take the first commenter.
Hello again. I'm Morris Fung. I live at 457 Douglas Street for over 31 years, so I know the area extremely well. As a previous person spoke, this sidewalk here is pretty narrow already. So if you want to build something all the way to the front and not with that 14 feet required according to code. And I was talking with some of the city planners, and this rear house, I mean, the modifications, it's going to be kind of awkward. And as someone previously mentioned, this corner here is a very, very narrow. A bus comes down. A car has to pull over to the side. So visually, people coming from north to south, you're not going to, visually, you're going to be blocked by these three huge buildings. So I'd like for you to take that into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Joshua Bugle, 6-year Noe resident again. I feel like the architects did an extraordinary job here of the massing of the proposed structure to work with both the other proposed structure and the existing structure on the right side. And the setback of the upper story definitely minimizes its top, its apparent, how apparent it is from the street. So I think it won't be noticeable much from pretty much anywhere, and thus the house will appear more or less to have the similar massing to the house to the right. And with the 3-foot setback, it seems entirely reasonable, plus the greater setback where the actual stairs are. So I don't see, certainly it's not the job of the property owner or developer to widen the sidewalk. So the width of the sidewalk there isn't particularly germane, and the sight lines really are not critical for traffic concerns. I think an earlier speaker on the previous project talking about possibly removing one of the street spots to make it safer for buses is a good thing for maybe MTA or DPW to consider. But that's aside from the issue at hand. And for this particular project, it seems like the massing of the front and the allowance that they're making for street space there is entirely appropriate.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nick Nash, owner of a property on Douglas Street for 10 years. I also oppose the variance for the 492 Douglas. 492 is kind of interesting to me. In that when I received the notice of the hearing, they stated on there that this house will now, and I quote, have near full lot coverage, which is kind of disgusting to me. You're creating this ginormous house, which is going to be 4,792 square feet. The current house, I believe, is 780 square feet. This new house is now going to be about 2,299 square feet larger than the current largest house on that block of Douglas, which is 2,400 square feet. And that's according to Zillow. The complete size of this. Also, in the applicant for the variance, they stated that the removal of the roof structure and portions of the existing building that sit in the rear yard will result in a less overall massing of the required yard. I guess I don't understand how 780 square feet going to 4,792 is less massing. It's kind of the other way around. I really do think that this is going to change the character of the neighborhood that I chose to buy my house in and that I've chose to remodel my house. I did a walking survey of this property, one block in each direction. I counted there are 40 two-story homes, 51 three-story homes, and one four-story house. This development is not in harmony with my neighborhood. Do the thousands and millions of dollars that the families who chose to live in my neighborhood not count for anything? We bought into, and many of us have remodeled our homes to fit the character of the neighborhood we choose to live in. These developers knew this going in when they purchased these houses. As Gadali stated, this is going to be his fourth property on Douglas. They're trying to change the neighborhood in order to develop and sell it. Once again, I urge you to put a stop to this and deny the unprecedented development at 21st and Douglas. And again, I only support remodeling of the two existing homes within neighborhood character and full compliance of Section 132. Also, I have 17 written responses of neighbors that also object to these variances that I didn't pass out last time, but they include both properties, 21st and this one, that I'd like to submit to you.
Thank you.
Uh, Hi, I'm Michael Ogrins. I own 490 Douglas. I've been there 25 years. Again, I support the variance. I support the development, mostly because Gadali and David have worked with us a great deal.
It's Joanne, right?
Julie. Have worked with us, and you know, among the things, you know, lowering the roof on the existing cottage or to address other concerns of ours to try and preserve and keep even more light and air into our backyard. They've worked with us all through this. I think, again, this is, I think, a good development given the exceptional existing conditions on these two properties. And just to comment on the issue of the traffic and the blocking of the view, the fence is already tall enough that I'm 6'1 or 6'2 in shoes. I can't see over that fence. In a car, I can't see around it. It's a complete red herring.
Thank you.
My name is Victor Ortiz de Montiano. I live on Corbin Street around the corner from the project site for about 10 years. And I do support this variance as well. This is really just a continuation of the corner variance from 21st Street. And that's, I think, very appropriate for a corner lot and consistent with the corner lots in the neighborhood. And this would just be a continuation of that setback. I do agree with the comment that was made that most of the setbacks on that part of Douglas Street are not contributing to beautification of the neighborhood because of how they're being used. They're not. There is a landscape area that a former speaker made a reference to, which is gorgeous. But in terms of what people are doing with their front areas with that are setbacked, there are very few gardens, a lot of cars, and I think nicely designed homes, as these appear to be, will actually improve the visual character of the neighborhood. A former speaker kind of gave the impression this is a neighborhood of like small homes, and that what's being proposed is radically out of character, and that's just not true. There's just a lot of very large houses along Douglas Street going in both directions, and I don't see this as what's being proposed as being out of character. And as a former note, I'm aware Mr. Braverman lived on Douglas Street formerly, and I was aware of his former home, which is one of the very nicest houses in the neighborhood. I mean, I really love that house, and I actually have a lot of faith in Mr. Braverman's aesthetic judgment, and that's kind of something that's hard to plan for and to put in planning regulations around aesthetic judgment, but I actually do have a lot of faith that what is going to be built is something that's really going to beautify the neighborhood and that he has a real commitment to that, and that certainly gives me a lot of faith in the project. So I do support the variance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, again, my name is Sarah Madison Earls. I live at 404 Vicksburg Street now, but I'm a former resident of the neighborhood, and I also support this variance. I became aware that there was going to be opposition to this variance through a flyer that was being passed around and put up around the neighborhood, and I knew several of the items on that flyer to be patently false. First, that Mr. Braverman owned both of the properties and was looking to develop them concurrently. And knowing for a fact that he's been working with the neighborhood and the neighbors and the property owner next door and the planning department in order to make these buildings agreeable to as many as possible. I think that in terms of the setback from the street, others have already spoken to the fact that it's in keeping with the corner lot and then moving to be in keeping with the adjacent lot as well. And that's why I support that variance. But I would like to point out that I don't know how many of the letters that are against this are based upon information that is not factual. There were several things that were being said that to me seemed to be insincere and disingenuous. So I'd like to point that out for the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Gregor Kalfas. I live on Corwin Street, just about a block away from the proposed sites. I am in support of the request for the variances. I'm also in concurrence with the previous speaker in saying that I feel a lot of the opposition to the variance requests have been based on a flyer with a great deal of misinformation and misrepresentation of facts. Many of the those facts have been brought out, but some of them include using, I believe you said Zillow.com to compare square footage. Zillow does not use garage space or non-livable space in their area of square footage, whereas the numbers used for these properties are, so it's not comparing like for like. It's making it seem like the structure, one of the structures is going to be twice as large as the next largest home on the block, and that's just absolutely not true. As far, the point has already been made about the height of the existing fence there coming right to the sidewalk. Yes, the area is, that sidewalk in that area is narrow. I've lived there for almost 10 years on Corwin Street. I pass by that corner almost every day. I have passed by one other person going, you know, on the same sidewalk when I've walked on it maybe three times over that 10 years that I've lived there. So it's not a high traffic area. The idea that it's a four-story structure is really taking into consideration the underground garage space that has been already discussed and talked about. And really, visually, we're really talking about something that will be no visually higher than any three-story allowable structure currently in the vicinity. I also have known Mr. Braverman for some time, and I know him to be of exceptional character. He does fantastic work. As one previous speaker said, his previous property on Douglas is one of the most beautiful homes on the block. He's very conscientious. He's shown he's worked very strongly with the neighbors who would be impacted on either side of him, and has been very open to amending his designs to meet with their requests. And both of them, or three of them, have all, you know, given letters of support, and some have stood here in support of that. So I hope you will consider that. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Michael Blumlin. I live at 476 Douglas. I'm not going to reiterate what I said on the, previously, because that included both properties. I can't help but object to the planner who spoke calling the two existing property cottages, just because I knew the people who lived there for 50 years, and they were their homes, actually. And the person who lives there now, it's his home. That minimizes really what's going on. I've made my objections, but what I want to say is I actually like a lot of the design elements they came up with, and I'm really happy that that Mr. Braverman spoke to the people right next door and is working with them. I wish he had spoken to more people. Everyone talks about the neighbors, even neighbors who aren't neighbors anymore, and people who live much farther away than many of us who do. And I'm just asking, include all of us. This is a neighborhood. There's a lot of strong feelings. There's a lot of different feelings about aesthetics. And if you are sensitive and if you do want to engage us. There's room for compromise. There's always options. There's always options to change things, and there's options in size, and there's options in setbacks. If the requirement is 15 feet, it doesn't have to be 15 feet, but likewise, it doesn't have to be 3 feet. So that's what I'd like to say. Involve more of the neighborhood than simply the two houses next to it, because we all live in that area and we all need to appreciate it and enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Neil Soffman, 473 Douglas. I think the issue here is that those of us who've lived there for a time have watched the scale of the houses that are being purchased and rebuilt and remodeled. they're continuously enlarging, so that the idea that something's coming right up to the street is not just about where the sidewalk is. It's that we now have less air, less fresh air, or the buildings are becoming mammoth in size. I mean, if they could design this down to 2,500 square foot buildings or 3,000 square foot building, that would make more sense. And in fact, when someone said none of the houses along there are small, that's not true. You're just looking where you want to look. Many of the houses on the east side of Douglas are very small. 1,100 square feet's not unusual along there. So when you compare 1,100 square feet to, you know, 5,000, you've built just something completely out of proportion to much of the neighborhood, not all of the neighborhood. But that's the trend that it's going in. And so you are definitely trying to change the feel of the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gypsy Atchong from 489 Douglas, and again, my family's been in the neighborhood for about 20 years. The issue is the front setback, and we've worked very closely with the project to figure out light and air and all of those things, and the design as presented, which does come very close to the front street, was designed to allow a massing of greenery between the two properties, lining up the light well between 492 Douglas and Michael's house, and reducing the size of the cottage in the back so that the light to the house at the back met their requirements. That's why the front setback is required. Gadali has been incredibly flexible. He's made many iterations to the project, and I'm sure that you know, in meeting with a broader group of neighbors, he would again be very open to finding a win-win situation to this this project. There's just a lot of difficulties because the neighborhood is registered for two residences. So how do you get two residences with the existing structures, with greenery, et cetera? Anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Julie Kim. I'm the owner of the adjacent property that was presented just before this. I'm also a resident of many years of Noe Valley and currently a resident of Eureka Valley. I think I wanted to start off by clearing up some of the discrepancies that have been addressed and others have tried to point out in terms of this flyer that was distributed, unfortunately, to the neighbors, which contained a number of material misrepresentations and I believe is potentially defamatory as well. From the outset, it states that Mr. Braverman has no interest in living in the neighborhood and that this would be his third and fourth homes bought. He was, in fact, a resident of Douglas Street for some 12 years, I understand, and he intends to make 492 Douglas his personal residence. And so I wanted to describe the history of how we came to work together on the design of our buildings, in case that's relevant to anyone here, and because I'm concerned that the basis of this flyer is much of why people have stated their objections and have written letters of support. Shortly after I purchased the property, Mr. Braverman approached me and told me his intention to make 492 Douglas's home. And because he had been a longtime resident of the block and was very familiar with it, and also intended to make this his primary residence, he had a strong view of the design aesthetic that he imagined for his property. He already obviously knew many of the neighbors. We, you know, engaged in the required notification process and held not one but two community outreach meetings. Very few people attended the first, and, you know, those who attended the first were invited, obviously, to the second meeting, and that's what resulted ultimately in the letters of support that we have from the immediately adjacent neighbors, as well as other letters of support that Mr. Braverman has to present to you as well today. Over the past year, we've really worked to be communicative and transparent with the neighbors in outreach, and it's unfortunate that some here feel that, you know, more outreach wasn't done. There was a Facebook page created by the author of this flyer, and Mr. Braverman's phone number was listed on there for the last several days in order for anyone to contact him. And to my knowledge, you know, those here did not contact him and in fact, try to verify any of the information on this flyer, which, you know, misrepresents the square footage, the essentially almost everything on this map. And in terms of the square footage, I have a list of a totally non-comprehensive list of 26 single-family homes that are over 3,000 square feet in the neighborhood, and those are just those that have been sold in the last 18 months. Several of those homes are on Douglas Street. Two of them are directly across the street and exceed 3,000 square feet. 680 Douglas, just on the next block, is 3,600 square feet, and as the architect noted during his presentation, it both has two properties on one lot, as well as a four-story front structure. I see that I'm out of time. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you.
My name is Leslie Turgeon. I'm at 469 Douglas Street. I have lived in the neighborhood for over 20 years on that block. We're talking about variances here. I understand there's some question about the concern of the design. There's a reason why variances were created in this city, and it's hard to get that kind of ordinances, those kinds of ordinances, into design requirements. And I ask that you retain the variance that has been established. It's been questioned, the variance that's required. It's been questioned, it's been brought up about the corner lots. Two of those lots are multiple over two, they're apartment buildings, and I'm not sure when they were built. The third house, I understand that being used as an example. But because those are built that way doesn't mean that the fourth house on that corner should be as far forward as is being proposed by the developers. You know, Gadali, I know Gadali. I've seen his houses, and I think he does a great job. There's no question about that. The question is about the variance and the greenery and the public that approaches that corner. And there's been a lot of money in the city going into greenery and green parks, and there's a whole department for greenery, and here we have an opportunity to soften one of the four corners and maintain and keep the variance that's required. I understand that there's drawings that need to be changed to have that happen. And Neil also said, and I would also like to bring up, that this neighborhood has been very active about the buildings that have been proposed. We're not looking for a fight. I mean, we're neighbors. We're just asking for the variance at this stage to not be given, and we're asking that that the neighborhood's requests be honored, and this is a great opportunity since they are at the development stage and nothing's been built yet to make those allotments. We're talking about feet, so I'm hoping that you'll consider that. Two of the houses that have been mentioned as being extraordinarily high were built in the last 5 years, and much to the chagrin of the neighborhood, and that's why it's such a sensitive issue about this large house as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning again. My name is Donald Arquilla. I live at 484 Douglas. And my concern is about this variance, not about how tall the houses are or the configuration of the rooms. And there's no misrepresentation involved in that something coming up to the sidewalk is clearly coming up to the sidewalk without a front yard. And I think it's important that we preserve the green space on the street. As I mentioned before, it is unique in terms of being particularly narrow in that the street was built after there were already houses there. The other issue I want to raise is because developers cooperate with neighbors about light wells, this is a law, this is a rule that has to happen. I don't think it's any commendation about someone being generous. It's just a responsibility that we have to give each other light and airspace when we design things. And when you buy a property with an existing building on it, this is what you have to deal with. If there's a cottage at the rear of that lot, this is something you have to configure or decide you're going to demolish and redo the whole thing. I don't know that that necessarily allows someone to build on the entire footprint of the lot. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nidhi Singh. I'm the owner of 4301 Douglas across the street on 21st. I've actually been out of the country for a couple of years, so I apologize. Ghadali may have tried to contact me. I actually know him from before. And I think the houses are beautifully designed. I think the volume, the size and volume has a lot of impact on me because all my north side, I get all my light is like from sky. But of course, I'm across the street, so I don't know how much that's taken into consideration by planning. But the size along the length of the building impacts me a lot. My suggestion here with the variance is essentially what I said with 492 as well, is I think the concern of the neighborhood is just to kind of soften the corner a little bit. The house across from me, as proposed, is it's like a mini mansionette. I like the design. It's matching with mine. If I had built my house, which I hadn't, in 1931, I would have built like a more green around it. I think they have an opportunity to maybe pull back, not a lot, just, you know, maybe a foot or two or something, you know, a few feet around the whole building, and just, you know, have a green patch, you know. Also, they have an opportunity for terrace gardens and things like that that they could do.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Seeing none, project sponsor, you can have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you. I just have a few comments, and then I'm going to let the owner speak about his project. You know, with respect to 492 Douglas, a lot of, you know, I think the primary reason we're even here at a variance hearing is it's just a matter of circumstances, you know, and due in large part to the fact that the lot next door only has a small cottage facing 21st Street. If the sponsors of the project next door had moved forward earlier in the process, they would have, you know, potentially gotten their approval, and we could have built a design guideline and code compliance structure without a variance. So we're here in large part because of the circumstances of that. And when we worked with planning staff, you know, really from day one on this, they insisted that, or they stressed that they thought that it would be best if the projects were heard together. I think Julie wanted to move forward with her project sooner. She delayed moving forward with it so that we could kind of work with the planning department and have both these projects here. However, I think if she had moved forward earlier, we wouldn't even be here asking for a variance as a result of that. I'll turn it over to the owner.
So first off, I want to thank the neighbors, even those who are in opposition of this, because I do know many of you from my 12 years of living on the block, and I understand some of your concerns. I want to say that with regards to the conforming to the desire of some of my neighbors, it wasn't just the light well. The rear structure, that cottage, and it really is a cottage of 780 square feet, the roof line is being reduced so that Jane and Marion from behind, who only have two transom windows, will get additional light there. And that building is essentially being lowered. So the overall mass at the rear is two lower floors. And aside from that, I want to make sure that there was no deck that would go over that rear structure so that Michael and Dean would have privacy in their yard, which has lost an amazing amount of light from previous renovations that happened at other properties. I really am in a position where, in the absence of being able to tear down this structure, and also given the fact that the neighbors didn't want two residences on this lot, what I'm trying to do is simply attach a rear structure to a front structure.
and I have a hallway, essentially, that does that. That square footage is useless to me, aside from connecting this rear structure, which I cannot remove, and I'm trying to maintain as a single-family house. So, you know, I'm not seeking to create a monster home here. And I'm also trying to create two parking spaces that can be tandem, underground. And I'm going to apologize for going over here. And in order to do that, I needed to be pulled forward. Otherwise, there's only one car parking there, and we're trying to keep cars off of the street. And I promise that I'll create beautiful landscaping in the front and extensive landscaping. And I'll work with the neighbors to plant trees along the entirety of the block, if that's what they want, at my expense. So, you know, don't penalize me for the fact that corners exist the way they do based on the way planning has asked that they do, and that we follow the instructions of the planning department to submit these together as opposed to having the corner lot submitted separately. I'm just going to present this unprecedented development. And I say to Nick, who is living in the first house that I had and I lovingly renovated, not developed, I'm not a developer, on that block, I moved every brick onto that front patio myself.
Thank you, sir.
No labor.
Thank you.
And
you can have a private conversation with him outside of the public hearing. Thank you. Okay, so with that, all the public comment is closed. This one, like the other one, is interesting. I did want to hear them separately and not together because I think there are separate contexts. They are going forward at the same time and maybe designed in response in relation to each other, but they are separate and distinct projects with different contexts. There was some discussion of kind of the front setback variance, this one just being a continuation of the corner lot, but this is not a corner lot. It's an interior lot. So it's not exactly correct to consider it just an extension of the corner lot. I have concerns about that. Also, there is space in the interior of this lot to capture more floor area if needed. The proposed interior courtyard is nice, and I'm sure it's nice for the building itself and does provide some amount of usable open space there. But it's not a courtyard that's going to be it's not going to add to the mid-block open space. You know, it's upsloping and to the north of the proposed mid-parcel open space to the south. So it's really primarily for that lot and those buildings themselves. And so I'd be inclined to not approve a variance for the front setback. I mean, again, that's the only issue in front of us today for this project is just the front setback. And again, the argument that if they've been timed separately, then you could wait and then just do it as of right. But that, you know, that's assuming that it would be approved. The variance would be approved, and if there is a DR hearing, that the Planning Commission doesn't make any changes, and those are assumptions that we can't make 100% right now. So similar to the previous case, you know, there are comments that I had not had before from the neighbors that I want to explore more, and I would want to take it under advisement so that the 311 notice could be completed, and if there is a discretionary review filed, that hearing can happen. I'd also just want to address one thing. For both cases, there were a lot of comments about just the total square footage of the houses and what they are in the neighborhood and what this is. That's generally not something, you know, that you can have subterranean levels that add thousands of square feet that aren't necessarily related to how the building relates to the street or the mass or the volume of the building. So generally just those numbers, whether it's a 2,000 square foot home or a 5,000 square foot home, aren't necessarily directly related to how that building relates to the street and the neighborhood, and aren't typically something that we focus on during these approvals. So just something to keep in mind. And again, I'll take this under advisement until the 311 is complete. Thank you.
So that was our last case.
That was the last item. Absolutely.
Our next hearing will be January 22, 2014.
Absolutely. And I assume, is there any public comment for any item that was not on this agenda? Just general public comment. I can talk to you after the hearing. Yeah. Okay. Seeing no general public comment, that public comment is closed, and this hearing is adjourned.